The ball is now in the Democrats' court after the president made an offer yesterday trading full funding for the border wall, $5.7 billion in return for temporary protected status for the Dreamers and for refugees in this country, as well as reopening the shutdown. The disruption keeps growing after the standoff over the president's border wall reaches day 30. Yes, we are into the fifth week of this shutdown, and we are honored on this very irregular program to have the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. Mr. Vice President, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
Okay, so we were going to have a piece from Kevin Cork explaining everything that's in this plan, but I'm now just going to ask you briefly, what did the president offer?
What the president offered was a good faith compromise to address what is a genuine humanitarian and security crisis on our southern border and end the government shutdown. And the Senate leadership, Senator McConnell, have agreed to bring this bill to the floor on Tuesday. Congress will begin its work. But really, what the president did over the last month and notably over the last 2 weeks was direct our team to meet with rank-and-file Democrats to find out what they were looking for. You know the legislative process traditionally is Republicans would offer their solutions, Democrats would offer amendments, but the president said, look, we want to put it all on the table. In a very real sense, what President Trump did here was he set the table for a deal that will address the crisis on our border, secure our border, and give us a pathway to reopen.
Okay. But, as you well know, House Democrats rejected the president's plan before he even offered it. Speaker Pelosi called it a, quote, non-starter. And I want to point out their specific objections. They say that it doesn't reopen the government first, which they insist on. They say that it doesn't provide permanent protection for the Dreamers and the TPS refugees. It's only 3 years. And they say that the full funding that the president is still demanding, $5.7 billion for the wall, is a waste of money. So I guess my question is the president willing to sit down and negotiate the differences, or is what he offered yesterday his final offer?
Well, there's a legislative process that is going to begin on Tuesday in the United States Senate. And, you know, it was disappointing to see Speaker Pelosi reject the offer before the president gave his speech. I mean, look, the president is offering a solution, and what we have from Democrat leadership so far is just sound bites. And the American people want us to work together to resolve these issues.
But if I may, sir, when you say work together, does that mean that you're willing to negotiate from what the president said, or is that the final offer?
Well, of course. And the legislative process is a negotiation, and up to this point, literally for the last month, while the president and I have stayed here in Washington and been engaging continuously with Democrat leadership and with rank-and-file members in the House and Senate, what we've heard again and again is we will not negotiate until the president reopens the government. Well, this bill would reopen the government.
They're saying reopen the government first and then negotiate about border security and immigration.
Right.
Are you rejecting that?
Well, look, I think it was about a week and a half ago, the president looked at Speaker Pelosi in the Situation Room and said, look, if I gave you everything you wanted, if I reopened the government and gave you 30 days to work with us on homeland security issues to address the crisis on our southern border, would you give me border security and funding for a wall? She said no. So the president said to us, let's go to rank-and-file members. And since that time, our negotiation team has been sitting down, talking to House Democrats. We've been in contact with Senate Democrats. And the president told us to listen. And what the American people heard yesterday was statesmanship, was the president laying out a genuine compromise. Even this morning, the Washington Post said, make the deal.
Okay.
Because they can see that both sides are getting what they want. The president's made it clear that we want border security. We want funding for a wall, a steel barrier on the southern border. We want money for additional technology, additional personnel, humanitarian assistance. We want changes in amnesty laws so that children can apply for amnesty in Central American countries. All of those things coming together.
Understood.
And the president added to that 3 years of temporary relief for DACA recipients and 3 years of temporary
I'm not saying whether it's reasonable or unreasonable. I'm just saying the Democrats aren't going to accept that package. So let me ask you a couple of specific questions.
I'm not sure that's true, Chris. I'm not sure that's true. We've had a lot of dialogue.
Well, all right. Let me ask you a question. The Senate is going to take this bill up this week. Do you have the seven Senate Democrats that you're going to need to break the filibuster?
Well,
yes or no?
As the president often says, we'll see.
But you don't have them right now.
I think when the American people have an opportunity to look at this proposal, which is truly a balanced, good faith compromise, when they reflect on what is a real humanitarian crisis on our southern border. I mean, we have 60,000 people a month attempting to come into this country illegally, 2,000 people a day. And for the first time, Chris, ever, the vast majority are families and unaccompanied children being exploited by human traffickers and cartels that take cash to have them take the long and dangerous journey. It is overwhelming our system. And in the midst of that, narcotics, criminals are coming across our border, 17,000 apprehended last year. The American people want action on our southern border. They want border security. 800,000 federal workers want us to find a way to open the government.
You could open the government tomorrow.
You could
open the government tomorrow.
We can do all of that.
You could open the government tomorrow. The House has passed bills to open the government tomorrow.
Right.
Why don't you sign them and open the government, and then you can negotiate about this?
Well, because, frankly, Chris, what the American people want us to do is to work on their priorities, and the American people want us to secure the border.
No, I mean, isn't it really that you just want the leverage?
And what?
And that you figure if you don't keep the government closed, that then they're going to go nowhere.
Well, again, I was there. I was sitting right next to the president when Speaker Pelosi said, if we reopened the government and took 30 days to negotiate, that she would not give the president funding
for
security or a wall. So what we want to do is go into the legislative process. The president has now embraced and said he's willing to sign a 3-year extension, temporary relief for DACA. 3-year extension for people with temporary protected status. These are priorities that Democrats have had. The president has embraced them.
They say they want it to be permanent. But let me just ask you one more question, and this will move on.
Now people will start voting, and we'll see where they stand. But the most important thing is for the American people to let their voice be heard.
Okay. There are immigration hardliners who are letting their voice be heard, and they say what the president offered goes too far. And that it's amnesty, and Ann Coulter, one of those immigration hardliners, said, we voted for Trump and we got jab. Isn't this, if it's 3 years, I understand, but they say it's a 3-year amnesty and you don't even get a full wall. You get a part of a wall.
The president made it clear earlier this year that he was open to resolving the issue of Dreamers. We're talking about 700,000 people who were brought into this country as children. The average age was first grade at the time. And the president has shown a willingness to address that issue. But let's be clear, what he put on the table yesterday.
So is it amnesty? What do you say about the amnesty
issue?
It's
not amnesty. We're asking for $5.7 billion for funding on a wall.
No, I'm talking about the Dreamers, though, in the TPS.
And the president has said that we will support temporary relief for 3 years for DACA recipients and those who are in temporary protected status. This is not amnesty. There's no pathway to citizenship. There's no, permanent status here at all, which is what amnesty contemplates. What this is a good faith effort to address the issue, bring relief to DACA recipients. Democrats have proposed in the Bridge Act a 3-year reprieve that could be renewable. The president's embraced 3 years temporary relief. And again, I think as the American people look at this, Chris, they're going to see this for what it is. President Trump said, bring me all the ideas from both sides. Let's put them all on the table. The president has made it clear what he would support.
Okay.
Now it's time for the Senate and the House to start voting to secure our border and reopen.
I want to talk to you about a couple of other subjects.
Yeah.
The BuzzFeed report that came out on Friday that the president directed his former fixer, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress. The special counsel made a rare public statement saying it isn't true. What does that tell you about Robert Mueller, the special counsel who the president keeps accusing of conducting a witch hunt, that he came out, one of his rare statements, to say this attack on the president is not true?
Well, the president expressed his appreciation to the special counsel for clarifying that that report was inaccurate. But I think what it says more about is the obsession of many in the national media to attack this president for any reason, for any allegation, for any report in the media. I mean, it was remarkable what we saw happening for 24 hours in the media on the basis of the report that appeared in BuzzFeed. And I just think it's one of the reasons why people are so frustrated with many in the national media and the constant obsession on this. Look,
and if I may, because I really want to move along here. What about the House Democrats, some of whom they would say, if true, but if it's true, we need a resignation or impeachment?
Well, again, the media's obsession on this issue.
I'm talking about members of Congress now.
And frankly, the reflexive willingness of the president's critics in the Democratic Party to accept the worst facts and the worst interpretation. Look, the American people expect better. This administration has fully cooperated with the special counsel, produced over a million documents. The special counsel will complete his work and we'll have all the facts. Okay. The president's maintained he's done nothing wrong. The American people ought to be confident that our administration is cooperating. And frankly, this was a week where I think the American people saw the hyper-partisanship among Democrats to assume the worst about this president and many in the national media's willingness to assume the worst about the president. And the reality is what the American people want us doing, what the president sought to do yesterday, was lay a framework for where we can work together. Let's start talking to one another.
Even though we're in a different studio, I'm going to try to move you along. President Trump has just announced another summit meeting with Kim Jong-un of North Korea for late next month. This week, the president said we have made, quote, tremendous progress with North Korea. On the other hand, on Wednesday, you said we are still waiting for them to make, your words, concrete steps. So which is it? Have we made tremendous progress or since the Singapore summit last June? Are we still awaiting any concrete steps? Because they don't seem to go together.
Well, they go perfectly well together. Think about where we were 2 years ago. I mean, when the president and I took our oaths of office 2 years ago today, and we had a regime in North Korea that was testing nuclear weapons, that was firing missiles over the Sea of Japan, making menacing statements against the United States and our allies.
But U.S. intelligence says they're
the
still continuing to make...
Well,
more nuclear fuel and more missiles.
No testing. What the president refers to, note, because of his strong stand, because of his engagement with Kim Jong-un directly at that first summit in Singapore, no testing of nuclear weapons, no firing of missiles. I had the great honor of being in Hawaii when the remains of our fallen heroes in the Korean War.
But they're not denuclearizing.
Home. But to the point, now the president will be announcing details in the days ahead. The meeting that took place this week confirmed there will be a second summit. And at that summit, we'll be laying out our expectation for North Korea to take concrete steps to begin to make real the denuclearization that Kim Jong-un committed to. And again, the president's very optimistic. The communications that I've seen between him and Chairman Kim have been truly remarkably positive. The president believes that we can make real progress. And we're going to continue to strive for that.
I got one last question for you. This week, you defended the president's decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. And here's the quote. Normally, under these circumstances, we'd have a soundbite. We are bringing our troops home. The caliphate has crumbled and ISIS has been defeated. But you were briefed before that statement about the fact that there had been this horrific suicide bombing that killed four Americans. Is that what the defeat of ISIS looks like?
Chris, first and foremost, our hearts go out to the families of those four American heroes. And we were praying especially for them yesterday as their remains returned to Dover Air Force Base in the presence of the President of the United States. But look, the progress that we have made against ISIS, since this president came into office has truly been remarkable. After President Obama withdrew American forces from Iraq in 2011, we literally saw this ISIS caliphate rise up and overrun vast areas of Syria and Iraq that had been won by the American soldier. President Obama began the process of a bombing campaign 2 years later, but President Trump changed the rules of engagement. He told our military as commander-in-chief to go after him, and our soldiers and the Americans in the fight, along with our allies, have literally crushed the ISIS state. Now, as I also said in that same meeting, the president made the decision as commander-in-chief to hand off the fight against ISIS in Syria to our coalition partners. We're working in the process of doing that. The president wants to bring our troops home, but we recognize there are remnants, there are ISIS fighters still in the region, but we've taken back 99% of the territory that the caliphate had claimed. In a very real sense, the ISIS state has been defeated, but we will not rest or relent until we drive ISIS not only from the region, but from the face of the earth.
Mr. Vice President, thank you.